This is Fresh Air. The movie Boys in the Hood made news the first weekend it opened because of violence in several theaters that left over 30 people injured and one dead. But the more enduring story is about the film's critical and commercial success and the emergence of a new young talent, the 23-year-old screenwriter and director John Singleton. The movie is a semi-autobiographical story of growing up in South Central Los Angeles, where the gunfire of rival gangs is an upsetting but common sound. Trey, the main character, is the only one of his friends who lives with his father. And his father, named Furious, is a strong role model, working tirelessly to teach Trey how to be a good and responsible man. But one of Trey's best friends, played by the rap music star Ice Cube, has a criminal record, owns a gun, and is willing to use it. The movie preaches against violence and for strong families. I asked Singleton if the violence at theaters 2 weeks ago has affected the distribution of the film.
Not adversely. What happened was there were violent incidents on the first day of release, the first night of release, and since then everything has quelled, and we've added 100 theaters, and I'd say it hasn't really nothing really bad has happened.
What about the theaters where there was violence? Did they change anything? Are they still showing the movie?
Some theaters took the movie out, and then they put it back in a couple of days later, and some people decided not to show the film at all.
You know, it's funny, the weekend that I was reading about violence in the theaters, I went to see it in a theater, and everybody where I saw it was weeping, you know, at the very sad scenes in it.
Yeah. It's a very heartfelt movie, you know. Unlike a lot of films now, you actually feel for the characters in the film because they've been developed.
When you sold the script for Boys in the Hood, you insisted on directing it yourself. I was wondering what the movie was like in your mind when you envisioned an assigned director doing it.
I never could envision an assigned director. That'd be like selling my mother, you know what I'm saying? It'd be like selling one of my relatives to someone. Can you imagine somebody like Alan Parker trying to direct Boys in the Hood? You know, it would probably end up Furious would be a Baptist minister, and Trey would be a choir boy, and at the end of the movie, Doughboy would sing a gospel song. So I don't think anybody else could have directed this film outside of myself.
Alan Parker is, by the way, the person who directed Mississippi Burning, among other things, for our listeners who are trying to figure out which director he is. So you thought it would be shown in things that would end up being stereotypical and generationally and locationally all wrong.
I couldn't let nobody from Iowa or, you know what I'm saying, or Idaho or even Encino direct this film. It had to be directed by somebody who lived it.
Do you have any friends who were killed?
A couple.
Yeah?
Yes.
What were the circumstances?
Well, I have one friend, his name was Robbie Stringer. He got killed because in the mid-80s, when cocaine was made cheaper in the form of crack, you know, because that only happened in the early 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he started getting involved in the trade and stuff, and he got killed when he was 17. He killed an alley down the street from my house. It really changed my neighborhood. Just like, you know, when one of the kids in the film gets killed, it changes everybody's life.
How did it change your life?
It was like a crux in which all these things that were happening growing up in the early 80s were like coming to fruition. And I was realizing that there was a certain system in order to that was working towards, you know, my demise, you know, and to bring me down. I could just look around. I can remember being able to go to the park, and when I was a kid, and there would always be a park supervisor there. You could check out a basketball, or baseball, whatever. And after certain laws were passed here in this country, in the Reagan administration, and Proposition 13 here in Los Angeles County, tax money didn't go towards park supervisors or anything, and social programs. Stuff was being taken away. And I could see that, you know. So what does a park become then? The park becomes a turf. It doesn't become a recreational facility. You know, I can remember when Ronald Reagan deemed ketchup to be a vegetable. I was in sixth grade.
Did you start eating a lot of ketchup? I remember.
Yeah, and I'm a product. I'm a product of the last decade, and now I'm out for change. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the '90s, so I'm ready to deal a new hand.
No, Boys in the Hood is a lot of it is about the importance of having a father around, a strong father.
That's right.
As a good role model, and also to kind of discipline you and teach you the difference between right and wrong.
There's a whole population of young people, black, white, whatever, that don't have a strong father figure or a strong family background, for that matter. Most people don't even talk to their kids, all right? And the deal is that it's my belief that a young boy needs a man how to teach him how to be a man. A woman cannot teach him how to do that. She can only teach him her perception of what she believes a man to be. And as a result of this, since we have a whole population of young men that don't have father figures and don't have that direction, they're always in pursuit of their manhood. You see? They're always going to be not really in tune with themselves as young men. And throughout their lives, searching for a sense of being what being a man is.
Did you have a strong father?
Yes. My father was the model for Furious.
And in the movie, the parents of the main character are separated. Your parents were separated too?
My parents never married, but they were still good parents, you know.
So who did you live with?
I lived with my mother for a certain period of time, and then when I turned 11, I went to live with my father.
It's kind of like the character in the movie.
It's exactly like the character in the movie.
Now, in the movie, the character changes because the mother kind of made a pact with the father that if discipline became a real problem with their son, that she would send him over to the father and have him live with the father. Was that what happened with you?
Yes, it was.
What were you getting into that was a warning sign to your mother?
Just, you know, fighting too much and getting into some certain things that I shouldn't have been getting into. I was on the wrong path, and I needed to be guided onto the right path, and that's why I went to live with my father.
What did your father do to lay down the law right away?
He taught me a sense of responsibility. He made me work around the house. He taught me to value myself and my culture and where I was, you know, where and it respect him, you know. And, you know, I looked up to my father like most people look up to Superman. You see?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You know what we're saying?
Oh, I wanted to know if you ever defied your father.
Yeah, a couple of times we got into it and stuff. You know, I didn't do everything my pops told me. I wouldn't be here right now. You know, I remember my father wanted me to go into real estate. And I was like, no. He's like, real estate, you know, real estate is the way to go. You can get your license before you finish college. I was like, no, I'm going to be a filmmaker. You know, so I don't do everything my father tells me.
My guest is John Singleton. He's the director and writer of the new film, Boys in the Hood. We'll talk more after the short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is John Singleton, the director and writer of Boys in the Hood, a new movie about a young man surrounded by violence but guided away from it by a strong father. The only problem I have with the message of your movie is that I think mothers get a bad rap. Like, it's not possible for a mother to do a good job bringing up a son.
No, it is possible, but the thing is that a mother has to understand that mothering is only one aspect of parenting, okay? Husbandry and fatherhood is another aspect of parenting. And if you only have one without the other, if you only have fatherhood and you don't have motherhood, then you don't have a complete person. If you don't have motherhood and you don't have fatherhood, then you don't have a complete person. So a mother who has no other alternatives, that doesn't have a husband or doesn't have someone there for that person to set down rules and guidelines and give direction, needs to find other ways in which her young son can, you know, just get a chance to have that, you know, guidance from a male. It could be a minister, you know. It'd be whatever. It can be. That's what's needed. Basically, that's what's needed. Straight up, I'm not giving mothers a bad rap. It's just that I'm making a statement that the American family has been broken down within the last 25 years, and only now are we really seeing the effects of that.
Were you ever looked on by some of your friends as too much of the good kid of...
Oh, heck no.
Okay.
I've always been a psychological person.
Uh-huh.
I've always been a kind of person that could sway attitudes and sway weak-minded people into certain directions, whether or not they wanted to or not going in that direction.
This is a great trait to have as a filmmaker. How did you use it as a teenager?
Well, I mean, there are certain people I could get to do certain things that they ordinarily wouldn't do. My father always taught me to be a leader and not a follower, to work smarter and not harder. And so if you have a certain population of people that are followers, they're easy to be led. And they're easy to be led through the power of the way you speak to them. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, my father taught me to value that. And also, I learned that a lot from comic books, too. I mean, no, you learn a lot from comic books. You read comic books, and you have certain characters who are kings and who consider themselves royalty, and certain people who command respect, like Dr. Doom and stuff, and you look at the way they speak and the way they, you know, they describe them in the stories about how they walk and everything, and you know that you know what they're about and everything. And as a kid, I internalized that, me and my little friends, you know. And so I had my little pack, just like, you know, Doughboy, Ricky, and Trey.
What kind of neighborhood did you grow up in?
I grew up on Vermont and Hunter first, and in a part of South L.A. known as Inglewood, in the flight path of LAX. And it was rough, but it wasn't as rough as it is now, because, you know, the neighborhood is now seeing the after effects of the last decade of the big burgeoning crack trade, and you know, it's suffering because of that. It's now just now trying to get back up.
Now, did you shoot Boys in the Hood in the neighborhood that it's supposed to be set in South Central LA?
Yes, I did.
In the credits for the movie, you thank the Nation of Islam. Did they provide security for the movie?
There's a security company in which there are brothers that are members of the Fruit of Islam, which is the security force of the Nation of Islam, and it's a private security company. They're just, some of their members are members of the Nation of Islam.
So you used them for security?
Yes, I did.
And were there, yeah.
That's the only people that the kids are going to respect. You see, gang members respect the FOI before they respect the police.
What is it about the Fruit of Islam that gets that kind of respect?
Huh? What'd you say?
What is it about the members of Fruit of Islam that gets that kind of respect?
Because of the fact that they're figureheads, and there's strong black men in the face of young black men who have no direction. And when they see these strong, responsible, well-groomed, clean-cut, strong-minded black men walk and politely tell them to do something, they're going to do it. You see, it's a whole psychological chunking because of the fact that these young men don't come in contact with a strong black man. So it's automatic, immediate respect.
Boys in the Hood has gotten very good reviews. It's doing really well at the box office. How is that going to affect the next movie that you make? Do you know what that movie will be? Are you getting surprising offers?
I'm writing my next film right now.
Mm-hmm.
And my next film is going to be even more experimental. I mean, now that I've done something like this, it allows me to be more free and with my work. And it's going to be about the war between black men and women on an economic level, you know. It's a romance. It's like, you know, it's a straight-up street romance. And since it deals with emotions and love, it's even more dangerous than Boys in the Hood. So maybe you'll have couples shooting each other in the theaters. No, not for real. I'm just joking. I'm wondering whether or not I'm going to be able to get a date after this movie.
Well, John Singleton, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much. All right. Peace out.
John Singleton wrote and directed Boys in the Hood. This is Fresh Air.